You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
Well, with new research from FNB showing that half of middle-income South Africans are really without any hope of saving at this juncture in the economy, one really has to figure out what we're going to do to try and improve the economic lot of most South Africans. Now, in most emerging markets, the pressure is really on to train more artisans, to get people into the technical fields. Now, registered engineering apprentices have decreased radically over the past 5 years, from roughly 30,000 in the 2015-16 year to a little over a third of that now, just over 10,000 youth in training currently. Now, for a country that needs to scale up infrastructure delivery and boost manufacturing, it's certainly a crisis, but it also presents opportunity, which was evidenced by a deal announced this week that will see the Artisan Training Institute, or the ATI, acquire the De Beers Technical Training Campus in a transaction that looks set to bring some much-needed economic activity to the Northern Cape. I'm joined now by Sean Jones, Managing Director of ATI. Good evening, Sean.
Good evening, Michael.
Now, ATI is the largest self-funded private engineering training provider in the country. How much of the market do you currently have in this space?
We have roughly 25% of the market. It's a fairly substantial portion of engineering training. My partner Mandisa and I have been building the business for the past 12 years with a very strong focus on quality outcomes. You know, that really has been our mantra.
How have you done that? Has it been a buy and build approach? What is the history of ATI been for the last 12 years?
Well, the organization we originally purchased was privatized in 98. And Mandisa and I took over in 2007. We managed to acquire the organization with funding from the Department of Trade and Industry. And post that, we've literally plowed all our profits back into the organization over those 12 years. And I think fundamentally we've managed to build a pretty solid top team, where all of whom have extensive experience in the space. We also endeavour to employ highly skilled people with on-job exposure. Most of our staff that do the training have roughly 8 years' experience on the tools before they come in and join us.
Sean, you've obviously got a very good viewpoint on the state of artisanal training in South Africa. My dad went to a technical training college, John Orr Tech, before he became a motor mechanic. We've seen a lot of those old training colleges closed down. What is the current state of technical training generally in South Africa, if we're to provide the toolmakers and these artisanal skills that we need to help build the country, to help with the infrastructure drive that the president has announced, and to boost our manufacturing?
Manufacturing is critical, and unfortunately, we are suffering at the moment. The manufacturing sector in particular is under a lot of pressure, and we're finding that imports from China are really killing off our manufacturing sector. And obviously the downturn in mining also has a monumental effect, in that statistics suggest that one job lost in mining affects four other in the supporting industry. So it is very, very challenging. In terms of artisan development, we also are battling with feedstock. You know, the quality of basic education is really an issue for most employers at the moment. So when young folk arrive on our doorstep, we have a huge amount of work to try and bridge them effectively so that they can actually qualify at the end of the day. So it is quite strenuous. And, you know, the government institutions have really, really been struggling with finding experienced staff that can actually provide the on-the-job exposure. So, you know, typically what you find in a lot of the TVET spaces is young bright kids come through, they go from N1 through to N6 and land up lecturing once they get N6. So, you're not getting really great workplace exposure being presented at a TVET level. So, you know, to try and take those academics and train them in the technical aspects of it is very, very difficult.
And that's really what this is about. It's about practical. It should be about practical and hands-on experiential sort of training. How do you approach that at ATI? Because you really have built a formidable position in the industry, so it's a model that that quite clearly yields results.
It does yield results. I mean, we have a number of blue-chip clients that have been with us for many, many years. We have tried to support the TVET. You know, we really don't see them as competition. We see them as a valuable component of the economy. And in doing so, we managed to raise some funding with the MasterCard Foundation, ran a program to train TVET staff. That went off fairly well. So, you know, our ambition is to try and work closely with the TVETs and help them improve their outcomes. At the end of the day, it makes our job that much easier. So, we have a lot of work to do. We really have to knuckle down and I think, increased levels of consultation with the private sector is required. I really believe that to sort out our joblessness, we need to work very, very closely with government and then with us to try and bring about the changes that we all need.
It speaks very much to what the World Bank had to say about this public-private partnership approach that we need specifically in this artisanal training and upskilling space. Now, the De Beers training facility was built in the 70s. That's been around for some time. What does this transaction offer ATI?
It's an amazing opportunity, Michael, in the sense that De Beers was run as the training center was run as a cost center. So there were enormous amounts of funds reinvested back into the center over the years. It was also run very professionally. The staff there are amazing, really well trained, provide similar outcomes to ATI. So it was really a no-brainer for us to take it over. And they're doing roughly a third of our what we do commercially. But also where it's positioned in the Northern Cape is quite strategic. It's literally in the heart of South Africa. So the good part about it, they got really great accommodation facilities. So we'll be able to house around about 240 apprentices there. And we're really excited. It's going to give us scale and also some of the other periphery programs that we run. You know, we don't only offer our services to corporate. We also have quite a strong donor-funded program where we find trainable youth, bring them in, train them and place them. We've got a placement rate of roughly 95 to 100%, wow, depending on which trade it is. So we've had great success. We've been running those donor-funded programs since the inception when Mandisa and I took over.
And I believe you've got a partnership with Harambee, and I've interviewed the Harambee team, various members, Morena, Iskander, and others, several times on the show. So they do a fantastic job in filtering and finding potential youth. Tell me a little bit more about the partnership with Harambee.
It's been an amazing road that we've traveled with them. They've conceptualized a program called IRM, which is Installation, Repair, and Maintenance. And, you know, the notion in South Africa is strongly linked to us being totally obsessed with qualifications. So if you're a young person and you don't have a qualification, you really don't have much hope. But if you look a little bit more closely at some of the jobs that are required in the country, they don't necessarily need full qualifications. They need young people that are energetic, that have the right attitude, and that are prepared for entry-level positions. So with installation, repair, and maintenance program, the idea is that there's so much infrastructure in South Africa that needs repair and maintenance. For example, solar water systems. If you go into hotels, they used to call a job category a handyman. So I don't know how correct that would be nowadays, but you certainly need people that can do basic tiling, plumbing, basic electrical work, and they don't necessarily need to be a fully qualified artisan. So we're focusing on that low-hanging fruit, identifying employers that need these roles fulfilled, and Harambee do a great job. They also run a behavioral change program where they do workplace readiness, and then ATI provide very basic entry-level technical exposure. And then we place these young people with employers, and I think the employers get quite a nice shake of the tree, in the sense that they're getting a young person that is work ready, and they don't have to go and scrounge through thousands of CVs trying to cherry pick individuals.
As we know, that can be really tough. Sean, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for. Thanks for sharing with us. Sean Jones, MD of ATI, on the importance of technical skills if we're going to make a dent in the country's unemployment.